Yesterday we were driving, Laura and I, and we got caught up in some traffic, and somebody did a stupid stunt in their car, and a lot of those people out there, right? You know, and I said something, well, let's just relax, and Laura goes, I'm not going to worry about it, and just continue driving down the road. Laura goes, let me feel your head. Are you sick or what? You know, I didn't complain. I didn't make excuses, and I guess maybe I'm learning something as we go through this series here this morning. And today I want to talk about living in fear. That many times we live a life in fear. And that's not what God intended. That's not how we're designed to live. We're afraid of a lot of things. And what's interesting, we're not born with those fears. Most scientists and most of those that have done studies of infants and children believe there's two things that we're born fearing as babies. You're born fearing falling as a child. And you're born fearing loud noises. Anybody ever raise children and you have them, that idea of just falling or those loud noises? All the other fears is fears we learn. We learn to be afraid of darkness. You ever try to take a child on a dark ride at Disneyland? You know, they don't want to go on Pirates of the Caribbean or Snow White or those rides because it's dark as they get in there and we're afraid of darkness. You ever watch a movie called Monsters, Inc.? Anybody? Yeah. You're afraid of that monster in the closet. Or maybe you have a fear of when you're laying in bed, you won't let your arm fall because that monster's under the bed. He's going to grab your arm or your foot. Or I've known some who've had fears of the shower curtain. You know, that somebody's behind that shower curtain. I remember somebody here in our church one time. I lived over here on Elm, and her little son runs over and knocks on my door. Her and her husband. Her husband was gone during the day, and her son runs and knocks on the door and says, "You got to help. You got to help. There's a spider in the closet." And so I go down the street to the house, and Mom's there, and the three kids are all there, and there's a spider, and they're looking on the top of this closet over in the corner. There's this spider. And I look, and yeah, sure enough, there's a spider there. And I go, "Are you sure that's the spider?" And they look, "Yeah, that's the spider." And it's like, "Are you really sure?" "Yeah." It was a plastic ring spider in the corner bed. I know others that are afraid of spiders. I'm not going to mention any names, but they're looking at me. Dan, don't say anything, all right? Snakes. We have these fears. You know? Laura and I driving to see our son going through Texas. Thunderstorms. We don't have, you know, you think you get rain out here? You know, we think we get rain. Or we think we get thunderstorms. I'm going to tell you, we don't get rain. We get sprinkles. Even when it pours, it's not raining. You go back south, their rain is as big as your thumb. Yeah, and we're driving out, you know, we're driving out through El Murillo, and then here's these thunderstorms. You just see the light, boom, and just over and over again. And people have all these fears. And we live in this fear, and I don't think God's called us to live in this fear. So I got four fears here I want us to think about, and I'm just going to kind of look at these. And if you notice these four fears, there's check boxes by them. I kind of want us to talk about them. And I kind of want you to put a check box if it's one of yours. Look at this first one. I fear of loss. There's a fear of loss. What happens if I lost my spouse? What would happen if I lost my job? What would happen if I lost a child? What would happen if I lost my car? Laura and I this week were we parked in this big old parking garage. I mean, six-floor garage. And we were rushing because we wanted to get to a place. And we really didn't pay that much attention to where we parked. And so we come back after seeing a movie and we're trying to figure out where our car is. It's like, well, we went up three flights of stairs. So we kind of guessed we're on the fourth floor. And we knew we parked in a corner. And we started looking for our car. We walked around for 20 minutes till we found our car. You know, and we lost the car. How do we feel when we lose something? Is there something that you're afraid of losing? Is there a fear about losing? Maybe losing your job or losing your house. Is there a fear of losing? And if there is, I'm going to ask you, put a check mark. Just, you know, is that a fear? Is there some kind of a fear that you have when it comes to loss? How about the fear of failure? That you're just afraid. Maybe you thought about starting a small group or going and attending a small group, and you're just afraid, well, if I start it, nobody's going to come. Or maybe you thought about joining and going to the gospel mission or joining some mission or some ministry, and you thought about doing it, but you're just afraid that you can't quite do it, and you're not going to fit in, and you're going to fail. Or maybe you're just kind of fearful that you're just not good enough. I'm just not good enough. I just can't. I'm not good. I don't measure up. I won't do well. I just can't handle that. Is that one of the fears that you have? Again, if that's one of your fears, put a check mark there and just say, yeah, that's one of my fears. How about the fear of rejection? The fear of rejection. Guys, you know, when we were in high school, and maybe some of you are there now, you're afraid to ask that girl out because she'll say no. Or girls, you're afraid to ask this guy out, but you don't want to because you're afraid he's going to say no. Or maybe you're afraid your spouse, your wife, your husband's going to run off and leave you. Maybe there's that fear that, well, some people are people pleasers. And you have that fear of rejection, and you worry about the clothes you wear, the hairstyle you have, the makeup is just right, the shoes, the car you drive, the house you live in. People have those fears, and they're real. Is that one of your fears, that this fear of rejection, that you're just not going to fit in, and it's not you? And how about the last one, that fear of the unknown? That there's some future out there you just don't know. What happens if I get cancer? And what happens with my job? And what happens in the future? And that fear, and I think this fear is a reality for many, I'm going to say women, although I know some men are in it, but I don't know very many men in it, but women are in abusive relationships. And they're afraid to leave, that fear to leave because they don't know what the future holds. And they stay in that abusive relationship because they're that fear of the unknown. And so they would rather live in that abuse. Is that one of your fears? Is that something that you battle in your life? But I want to make sure you understand, that's not what God intended for us. God didn't create us and put us in this world to live in fear. I was sharing with someone this week, I like doing crazy things. You know, and I was talking about, you know, jumping out of an airplane, running an obstacle course in the, you know, back in Georgia. You know, I told him I want to bungee jump. You know, I do. I want to bungee jump. I watched this thing in Texas. They had this bungee thing. I wouldn't do that one, but they had this bungee, and it got stuck, and they were stuck in the air like 110 feet high for 3 hours as they tried to get a ladder to get them down. Yeah. I want a bungee jump. I tried to go down Highway 1 and see the bridges and see, man, I want a bungee jump. I don't want to do it at a fair. I don't trust the people at fairs. You know, but I do. I want to go to a place and just, yeah. But we have these fears, and that's not what God wants us to have. Look what the scripture says. Look at this passage right here. It's in your outline. I hope you put a check mark by some of those. For God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of sound mind. God hasn't given us a spirit of fear. That's not what God intended for us to have. We don't have to have worry. We don't have to be anxious. We don't have to be overwhelmed. We don't have to go through life with these fears and this pressure on our lives. But we do. One of the best characters in the Bible, we've looked at several times through this series of messages, is Moses. Yeah. We followed Moses as he made excuses when God came, and he started giving these excuses. We said we got to quit making excuses. We looked at Moses as Moses dealt with the people, and all they did was complain. Oh, the water's bitter. Oh, the food. We need food. Oh, we don't like bread anymore. We want quail. And they just complained, and we watched Moses. But Moses, again, he has another example of something that we frequently do. What? Look at this passage. I want you to circle two words that I see so often in our lives. Look at what it says. Let's go. Oh. Let me get here. This is kind of where I want to go. Fear is placing faith in the what ifs. All right? See, people say fear, faith is just those things about God. I want to tell you, we live our lives in the what ifs. What if this happened? What if that happened? What if? And we train these what ifs together. We make a train of what ifs. And we live in these what ifs. And that's what Moses says. Look at the passage here. Here's the passage I wanted to get to. Moses answered, what if, circle that, what if? What if they do not believe me or listen to me and say, the Lord did not appear to you? What if? We live in this what ifs. We got a big what if in America right now. There is a high, large what if just dangling out there right now. What if they don't sign a budget? You know, it's hanging out there. What if? But we live this. What if the economy drops? What if I lose my job? What if I lose my health? I put a big list here. What if my spouse cheats on me? What if one of my kids gets hurt? What if I get in an accident? What if I get in a wreck? What if I never get married? What if I never have kids? What if I fail that English class? What if? Do we live with these what ifs? And we worry about the what ifs. See, one of my big what-ifs for me was my house. Many of you don't remember and weren't around Salida many, many years ago when there was no new homes. It took me over a year when I came to get a home in Salida. I had to live all the way on the other side of Modesto. There was no homes for Salida. I finally live in Salida and got a house in Salida, and I'm renting. And all of a sudden, I get a knock on my door. It's a 30-day notice to get out. And it's like, we got to move in 30 days. She wanted the house for her daughter. She was going to, and her daughter rented out the rooms. I could go in all day, but I got a 30-day notice for a house. And there's nothing in Salina. Nothing. There's no new homes. There's nothing. And so we start looking. We start trying to find a home, and we can't. And we can't find a house, and 2 weeks to go. And I got to be out in 2 weeks and we have no home. And what are we going to do? What if? What if? And so we found a place for a month. So we got to move for a month. I got to postpone the what if for a month. So we lived over by Perkins School for a month. Now, what if? Yeah. The house is sold. He wanted somebody to live there for a while. What if? I'm going to tell you, God was involved. I can go through all the details, but it was just all this what if. We finally found a house in Salida, lived in the duplex, but you know what? We lived in the house that ended up having the four murders happen next door. What if? Does anybody have the what ifs in their life? Do you live with those what ifs? What if? What if? What if they don't sign a budget and that Social Security check doesn't come? What if Medicare, Medi-Cal? What if they're going to move Social Security and I'm 65, they're going to make it 70. I'm only 56 now, all right? What if? What if they raise the tuition at college? What if? What if I flunked that in? What if? We live with these what ifs. And I want to challenge us that we don't need to live in the what ifs of life. We don't need to get on a train of what ifs in our lives. So why does the what ifs matter? Why does it matter with the fear of the what ifs? I'm going to give you two things. First, it's this. What matters with the what if is because what causes you to fear is what you have value with. Because what you fear reveals what you value the most. All right? Because what you feel, you value the most. If you fear your marriage, that means you value your marriage. If you're afraid, which is not necessarily bad, okay? You're going to work hard at your marriage. You're going to invest time in it. And if you fear that, you'll work at it. If you fear your children, that's not necessarily bad. Something happening to them, that's not necessarily bad. You'll set rules up. You'll structure your family so that they can be safe. Your job. Some of these aren't necessarily bad, but your fears reveal your values. Think about your fears. It tells what's most important to you. It's what matters to you. It's what you're concerned about. It's what you care about. That's why you have a fear with it. And so fears are not necessarily bad. It can help us understand who we are and what's important. But also our fears, because what you fear reveals where you trust God the least. Because what you fear reveals where you trust God the least. See, if I fear my marriage, do I really trust God with my marriage? If I fear my job and losing my job, do I trust God, a God who created this world, a God who sustains this world, a God who provides for the birds of the air and talks about that? Read the scripture. It talks about he feeds the birds, he clothes the birds, and he says he cares more for us. If I value my job, that causes me so much fear that I don't trust God to provide for me. That I value my home. And this is something I think about. I want to pay my home off. You need to know, I refinance my home. I pay extra on my home every chance I get because I want to pay my house off so nobody can knock on my door again and give me a notice that says, you got to get out. And so I'm doing everything I can to pay that home off as fast as I can. Because I don't want to be, what am I going to do? How am I going to live? Do I really trust God? As I wrote this, man, I was writing it to me. Do I really trust God? I'm sitting there going, I've got my loan down to 10 years, refinance, get it all set up. I'm paying extra every month. I could have it paid off in 7 years. But wait a minute, is that really what I want to do? Is that really what God wants me to do with my resources? And how God wants me to manage my... But I don't want anybody knocking on my door. I'm going to tell you, that's the weirdest feeling. You pay your rent every month, you're doing everything right, and somebody, knock, 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 get out. I got a family. Where are we going to go? My plan, I had what we're going to do? Well, we'll just move everybody up to Sacramento. We'll move over mom and dad. Here come some others to live with you. And then I'll just commute back and forth until we figure out what to do. That was my 2-week plan. So mom and dads, never think your kids are gone. They could be 40 years old and knocking on your door. Hey, I'm home. Because we live in this what ifs. We live in the what ifs. But the what ifs are good. What do I really value? It can help me understand. And do I really trust God? Am I really trusting God? Or is it about me and mine and what I'm after? So, if you look at your little outline there, I'm not trusting God with, I don't have the answer for that one. You do. So I want you to be real honest. And I want you to write something down there. I want you to think about, what is it that you're really not trusting God with? Like I said, this series of messages have really made me think about them, because when I get up here and I ask you guys to do this, I've done it, or I'm doing it. I told you when I was praying about excuses, what I was going to pray about, is that my excuse is to lose weight. I'm going to make sure that while I'm in those stairs, God says, no, you're going to put patience down there. I don't want to put patience. I want to make excuses for having impatience. I'm part Indian. That's, I can have a bad temper. I can make all sorts of excuses. Complaining. So I'm asking you to do something that I've done, and I want you to, what is it that you're just not trusting God? Is it that job? For me, it's my home. It really did. I'm stepping back and thinking about, am I going to just continue to pay all that extra money and get this thing paid off? Or what am I going to do? Is that how God wants me to use my resources? And so I did. I wrote my house down here. But what is it for you? Where is that area in your life? Is it your kids? You know, some of us have kids. You know, kids are kids. You know, I'm going to tell you, those who don't have kids yet, you listen to this. Those who have kids know what I'm talking about. If you don't have kids yet, I want you to hear this. You've heard this. When you have kids, you got them for 18 years. That's a lie. Any parent know what I'm talking about? Once you have kids, you got them forever, all your life. And your heart works, and you're concerned about them, and you pray for them, and you worry about them. I don't care how old they get to be. So don't think, I'm going to raise my kids, and then I'm going to have my freedom. It don't work that way. Your kids might have freedom, but then you get their dogs, okay? You know, that's just how life works, all right? So what is it that causes you to fear, even when your kids are older? What is it that you're worried about? Is it school? Is it your home? Is it the kids? Is it the job? What is it? I want you to put something down there. I want you to think about it. Because it's really going to show what you value. That's not necessarily bad. I want to make sure you know what you value is not, valuing your marriage is not bad. Valuing your kids is not bad. But do we trust God? So now I want to talk about how do you deal with this. Now that you've written it down, what are you going to do with it? What are you going to do with this fear? What are you going to do with this what if? Well, here's what I want to begin with. You need to acknowledge your fear and choose to trust God. You need to acknowledge your fear and choose to trust God. You got to get to the point where you say, I am afraid. I hate snakes. I don't care. Poisonous, non-poisonous. I don't want anything to do with snakes. And one of our teachers here has snakes. And she brings snakes around. She has snakes in her room. I can take you. Well, I shouldn't unlock the door, but it's right over there. I don't think any are here during the summer. But she has snakes. And so as one of the school board members, I go around and look at the show. And every time I go look at her snake show that she has, she wants me to hold a snake. And it's like, I hate holding snakes. So they found this one little snake. It's about the size of a pencil. And I hold it. You know, this little bitty pencil-looking snake. You know, and that's the extent. I don't like snakes. We need to acknowledge. What is that fear? I need to talk about my home. And Laura and I, we talk about it. And it's like, you know, well, we want to go do this. So why? We're discussing this again. But what about, we need to acknowledge it. Look at this. This is probably the best illustration. This is this is a guy named David, okay? David was going to be the king of Israel. He was a young man. Saul was king. Samuel, one of the priests, came around and was anointing, trying to find the next king. And he anointed David as a young man. And David knew he's going to be the king. Everything's set up for David to be the king, but there's already a king. All right? And you know the story of David and Goliath? It's the same David I'm talking about, just if you didn't know. It's the same David. He goes out and slays Goliath. And Saul, who should have went out to the battle, was sitting in his palace. Well, and the people start singing a song. Yeah. Saul's killed his thousands, but David his tens of thousands. Well, can you imagine what the king thought of that song? That didn't go over very well. The king gets mad. The king gets jealous. And so now he decides he's got to eliminate David. So David was his musician. Saul would get depressed and David would play. So one day the king grabbed a spear and tried to pin David to the wall with the spear. Not just once, but twice. Then he starts chasing David all over the country, trying to kill David. And here's what David wrote. This is really powerful. Look at what he said. My slanderers pursue me all day long. He said, they're after me 24/7. They're trying to kill me 24/7. Many are attacking me in their pride. When I am afraid, I will trust in you. You get the picture? They're pursuing me. They're trying to kill me. I know I'm supposed to be king. Matter of fact, just if you don't know, David had a couple of times he could have killed the king. There was a couple of occasions he could have eliminated Saul. All his problems are gone. At least with Saul, they would have been gone. Raised up a whole new, another batch of problems. But he's sitting there saying, I'm going to trust God. You need to acknowledge your problem, that fear. Whatever it is, you got to acknowledge that fear and then trust God. Now, I'm not saying, I want to make sure you understand, I'm not saying put your fingers in your ear, close your eyes, I trust God. I'm not saying that, all right? I'm going to give you some more pointers in a minute. I'm going to be realistic about it. It doesn't just disappear. It doesn't just go away. But you got to acknowledge it and then just trust God. But look what else David says. In God, whose word I praise, in God I trust, I will not be afraid. Think about this. With God on your side, a God who created this world, who sustains this world, who provides everything we need, what are we worried about? We got an omniscient, we got an all-knowing, all-powerful, everywhere present God. What are we worried about? We have these fears. What am I worried about? Knocking on the door. Here's your notice. 30 days. Get out. How do we deal? We got to acknowledge that fear and trust God. Does that mean it just disappears? No. I like this last. What can mortal man do to me? I really never thought about that very much until I've worked on this message. You know, I read that, trust God, trust God, trust God. Now I want you to think about that little phrase. David is sitting there saying, listen, these guys are trying to kill me, but I'm going to trust God. What can mortal man do to me? I'm going to ask you, what can mortal man do to David? Can they kill him? Can they throw him in prison? Can they torture him? Can they make his life miserable? Can they do all that? When he asks that question, what's amazing to me is they can kill him. They can make his life miserable. They could torture him. And David is sitting there saying, I'm going to trust God. What can mortal man do to me? See, David had a different picture of life than just what we see here on earth. That's what this picture gave me. I never thought about it much until I looked at this again as I worked on the message. And I realized what David is saying, listen, when you look at the what-ifs of life, look at it through the eyes of eternity. Step back and look at the bigger picture and see a much greater God who is gracious and merciful and kind, who wants to bestow that on you. What can mortal man do to you when you got God on your side? Yeah, he can kill you, but what's that going to do for eternity? Yeah, he can make your life miserable, but what's that going to do in the big picture? See, I never really caught that in this verse. Until I seen what he was sitting there saying, he says, listen, these what-ifs in your life, when you step back and you see God and you see life in its totality, and not in the 50, 60, 70, 80, 90, 100 years that you walk this earth, what can mortal man do to you? What can he do? In the New Testament, you'll find a phrase like this, and it went something along this line. Don't fear those who can kill your body, but him who can kill your soul. This is what he's saying. Are you caught up in the what-ifs? Are you afraid what this world can do to you? That fear of loss, that fear of rejection, that fear of failure. Are those pulling? What can mortal man really do to you in the eternal realms of life? Is it really that big? See, I remember when the hardest year emotionally in college and the hardest time for me in college wasn't all the classwork. That's hard work. But all of a sudden, that last semester of school, you're sitting there, and I've been working on my master's. I can remember standing on the patio and on this railing with some other students. We're both getting ready to graduate. And we're sitting there talking. And the what if is, now what? Where do we go from here? What if we don't get a church? What if we can't find a place to pastor? What if? And I can still remember standing on that porch that last semester of school, knowing that I was leaving school. Now, I had went through high school, 4 years of college. Matter of fact, I spent 5 years getting through college, 2 years getting a master's, and I'm standing there that last month of school looking over the railing going, now what? What if? It's like, well, whatever, God, this is it. What if? You need to acknowledge that fear and trust God. Just say, it's something that bothers me. It's one of those what ifs in my life. Will you trust God? Will you take Him and trust Him? And then how do you do it? Let me give you this point right here. Seek God until He takes away your fear. Seek God. When I'm saying, again, I'm not saying, Mom, close your eyes and just walk blindly forward. I'm not saying that. Put your fingers in your ear and la, 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 just off you go. Yeah. Some of you get nervous when I get close to the edge. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying you got to seek God. Look at the scripture here. Look what it said. I sought the Lord, and He answered me. He delivered me from all my fears. I sought the Lord. You have to seek God. You have to seek after God. And I wanted to give you several things. I want to make this as simple as I can. If you're wrestling with fears and the what-ifs, and you're on that train, and you're heading for that crash of that what-if, here's some things you can do. I'm going to get as simple as possible. I got them right there for you to look at. Look at what it says. Seek Him in His Word. Seek God in His Word. Read the Bible. Read about Moses. Read about David. Read about Jeremiah. I like the Old Testament. I enjoy the New Testament. The best, I'm going to tell you, you want the best part of the Bible? The New Testament is a joy because that is God's grace, mercy, and His deliverance. But you want to really see God work in lives of people like we face, read that Old Testament. I mean, you know, just go and read and just see the various stories and see what God is saying and how God says it. Read those minor prophets. You want to read an interesting, read Hosea. Go marry the prostitute, God tells you. You know, read the story, you know, Amos, the country boy that goes to town to preach. And just read those stories and see God's Word. And I challenge you, one of my things for me is find a Bible character you can identify with. I love the story of Moses. Moses, when I get to heaven, one guy I want to spend a lot of time with is a guy named Moses. And it's not Charlton Heston, okay? I want to see the real guy. And I want to talk with Moses and visit with Moses. The ups and downs of life. There's David, and then Jesus, of course. But who can you, and read God's Word. Find some promises you can claim. Some verses. I have my verse. People know mine. I say it all the time. I can do all things through Christ Jesus who strengthens me. Where's your verse? You want to deal with your fears and deal with those what ifs, read God's Word. Second thing I put here, seek Him through prayers. Pray. Talk to Him. Spend time with Him. Get up in the morning. And I'm not going to say, and I want to make sure you understand this, get up and pray. But during the day, as you're walking around, you know, I don't close every one of my prayers with amen. Did you know that? I don't. I don't end. It's like, amen, I'm done, God. Matter of fact, I'll give you an idea. Get up in the morning and pray, and don't say amen until you go to bed when you pray, and then say amen and pray all day long. That's how I do. It's like, what, I'll be driving around and something to come to my mind. Maybe one of you come to my mind. You need to understand that. Some of you come to my mind. I'm driving, oh God, I don't know why you said pray for, God, I pray for so-and-so. I don't say amen after that. God, I don't know what's going on, but for some reason I feel you want me to pray for so-and-so. Just pray. The Bible says pray without ceasing. That's what I think he's talking about, an attitude of prayer. But you also need those times when you really get down and maybe you're crying and maybe your heart's aching and maybe you're broken and maybe that fear is just crushing you and that what if is just crushing you and you need to stop and pray. Seek him in your small group. You need that small group. You need those friends that can walk through life with you, that when you're struggling and that what if is hanging there, that notice has been given to you, you got to move. That you have somebody you can go and talk with. You need that small group that to be with you, to hang with you in those what ifs. That's why you hear me in our church talk about it all the time. Get in a small group. Get with a small group, because you really need that time around God's word and around the fellowship to find that support and that strength. I also put here, I seek him in worship. I put church, made it real simple. You need church. You got to come and hear the music and join the singing and join the fellowship and lift your arms and make those funny symbols, however that went. I don't know. All the world in the cross, whatever it is. You guys remember it. But you need to have that worship time, that time with that big family of God where you come in and you have that warm handshake or that hug. And you just share life's journey. You need that worship experience. You need a church. You also, as I look at this, you need to seek him in the prayers of others. You need to get others praying for you. The Bible says pray for one another over and over again. You need to don't be embarrassed. Don't be ashamed. Don't think you're not good enough. That you can't ask others to pray. And to be there for you. Say, hey, this is just between us. Can you pray for me? That's why I like those blue cards. You need to know, I pray over those blue cards. I read over them, and I pray over them several times a week, during the week. And I want to pray. There's one more I didn't put here. I didn't think about it until I was going over my notes last night. So you got to put another square, put a box, another square, check box. And I seek him in praise. I seek him in praise. It's not on the screen because I didn't think about it till today or last night. I seek him in praise. Seek him in the music that you listen to. Seek him in the songs. One of the songs, there was a time, I don't remember when it was, last year, a couple of years ago, I don't remember, but I was really struggling and just inner turmoil. It's just me, you know, it's just Gary. And there was a song I heard and I had to go find it. I went on. And the song is, I Never Let You Go. I don't remember much of the song. I just remember that one phrase, he never let you go. Redman or something like this. I can't remember the guy's name. And I sat there at my computer crying as I listened to that song over and over and over again. And now it's on my iPhone. Or it used to be on my iPod. I don't know if I have it on my iPhone yet. But that song just speaks to me. He never lets me go. No matter what's going on in life, he never lets me go. Listen to some music, because when the what ifs get you, when life is trying to destroy you, I believe God can use those songs. And many of the songs we sing today come right out of the Bible. You're learning a psalm, you're learning a proverb, you're learning some of God's word. A person I really appreciated and still appreciate very much was Mary Bruner, and the way she taught our kids songs. She had those songs of the Bible that the kids would have to learn and sing over and over. And I just believe that's, you know, God uses that stuff in our lives. And I didn't write that one down as I was preparing my notes during the week. I didn't catch something. But last night as I was going over and kind of, okay, God, how are we going to bring this? I thought, you know what? I didn't put music down. You got to seek him in your praise. Praise him when things are good and praise him when things aren't so good. Isn't there a song that goes like that? I don't remember now, but I think there's a song that says that. But praise him. So you got to seek God when all that's going on, when all that is. I want to tell you, I'm not going to say this is easy, all right? I'm not going to say, here's a magical wand, here it is. It's a wand called trust. I'm not saying that. I'm going to say you're going to have to work at it. And you're going to have to seek Him. You're going to have to pursue Him. There's a great Bible teacher today. She's wrote a lot of books and very popular. Beth Moore. Some of you may have did some of her studies or been involved in her studies. One of her books, she had a story, and I'm not going to probably going to mess it up. So if you've read it, some of you who've read it, you might know it better than I do. But she had a fear. She had this what if. Her what if was the loss of her husband. And she just feared that she was going to lose her husband. And what if that happened? And one day, the story went that she felt she had a conversation with God, that in her prayer, she was just carrying on a conversation with God. And she, and you know, what if I lost my husband? And God says, well, what if? And she goes, well, I would probably be hurting and devastated. And my friends would come and help me through the next few days. And we'd get through the funeral. And then God goes, uh-huh. And then what? And she goes, well, I'd probably go home and lay around in bed, just crying and crying and crying. Probably do that for a month. And God goes, okay. And then what? She goes, well, I'd probably lay around in bed and cry and cry and cry and cry and be depressed and devastated. And God goes, and then what? She goes, well, I guess at some point I would get up and trust you again, knowing that you're going to be with me, and that you're going to care for me, and you're going to watch over me. See, we ride this train of what ifs. What if? What if? What if? I want to say, let's get off that train. And let's not live life in fear. I was visiting this week, and like I said, I was talking with somebody about jumping and bungee and all, riding the mechanical bull. And I would ride a real one if I had a chance. A mellow real one, all right? Yeah, I would. I told him, I don't want to go through life with no regrets. I don't know. Bungee jumping to me sounds like so much fun. I don't want to, but I have other fears. You know, my home is, I told you, my home is a fear. What if? What if this train? What if? See, I want to challenge us to not live. What is it that's causing you to fear today? What is it that's causing you not to trust God? What is it that's putting that roadblock in your life? Will you seek it? Will you lay it all aside and simply say, what can mortal man do to me? Will you seek it? Bottom of your page, I put it this way. I'm just going to quit living in fear. You will keep him. You will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. I'm just gonna seek him. Life's gonna hurt. There's gonna be times when I feel miserable. There's gonna be times when I get depressed. There's gonna be these what ifs in my life. But what can mortal man do to me? You know what? Someday I'm gonna walk the streets of gold. What can mortal man do to me to stop them? Not a thing. I want to challenge you. What is it that's holding you back from living a life of joy and peace? Not that it's perfect. Not that it's easy. But there's joy and peace. What is it? What is your what if? Let's pray.